Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
You know, we have been talking about Painter as, you know, an elite prospect on this podcast for a while now. Obviously, everyone's come around. He's the best pitching prospect in baseball. Most places that you look right now, there's still lists to come out and all that. But, you know, going to camp and all of a sudden, he's like the most hyped dude down there. It's all everyone's talking about, the excitement around Painter. What's your kind of read on the whole Painter situation down there in terms of like the hype about him? Obviously, we know how we feel about Painter, but like, do you think he's actually going to make the team out of camp? Because I would be really surprised. They have to find a way to manage this guy to when it matters most. But like there's a lot of hype, man.
Well, and I think it's the right thing that this team kind of needed, you know. It gives you that little bit of juice that I think they, you know, they come off the World Series last year and everyone's kind of expecting them to go back. And this little Andrew Painter kind of hype train gives them kind of an extra little juice, I think. Turner being brought in adds in a little bit of juice, of course. But you Andrew Painter is there. He has all this buzz around him. Everyone is apparently at his live BP session, you know, wanting to see what he looks like and wanting to see, you know, how he does. And I like that it gives them a little bit of something that can give them a little bit of extra jolt rather than just like, oh, we got to count down the seconds until spring training or until spring training's over. Now, I think he starts the season in the major leagues. I don't get the point of like, unless he's terrible, right? Like, unless he's terrible in the spring and doesn't deserve it. But what's the point in having him pitch AAA innings? You know, if he's good enough, you're still getting the innings regardless. We might as well do it at the major league level. And where I think I've gotten to with the Andrew Painter thing is, let's be smart about this. They start six man from day one. Bailey Falter's in their rotation. And they go six man. They give these guys plenty of rest. They kind of ease them into it. And then in the middle of the season, give him what you did with Ranger and Wheeler last year. You know, like
Ranger, a month and a half off or something.
Ranger essentially gave like a month off heading into the All-Star break. I would give Painter the 2 weeks before the All-Star break and then give him the All-Star break off and then have him back and ready to go. Like, so last year he threw 103 innings, which is actually like pretty good for like a 19-year-old in his first year of full Pro Bowl. Yeah. Like 103 innings is a lot. Like I don't think Spencer Howard ever got to 100 innings like in a season. So
yeah, he's not Spencer Howard, that's for sure.
So I just think that the Phillies need to, obviously they're going to manage it well, but if you go six man and you give them a month or 3 weeks off in the middle of the season, like that should get him to around 130 innings. And I think 130 innings is the right kind of spot for him to be in. You don't want it to be Steven Strasburg, where you like push him and then by the end of the season, you're just like, we'll shut him down. Whatever happens in the postseason happens. Like, I hope that he can be a factor in the postseason. Like, in a perfect world, he comes out and like immediately is the four or like three, given how good his stuff is. But I would do that for everyone, James. Like, we talked about this a couple of months ago. But Nola, I'm not having pitched 200 innings this year. Like, I think they got to be smart about this. 170 is a good number for him. Same thing with Zach Wheeler. I think Ranger, you know, as he gets more durable, gets more used to this, I think he can go. He might have the most innings on the team this year. I think that's fine. And Taiwan Walker, if you buy into the theory that he struggles in second halves, then let's be smarter about what he does in the first half. And let's be smarter about extending what he can do. So they have options. You know, the one guy that doesn't get talked about that I think should be talked about is Michael Plassmeyer, who they got last year from the Giants and saved the season. I don't know if people remember this, but he saved the season in the middle of the year when things were falling apart. He came in and got out of like a bases loaded jam. So Plassmeyer and Falter, I think, are good six man options. And I think they can manage this. I think they can be smart about this. And you hope that they manage these innings well. And they are heading into the postseason way fresher and can able to get through the postseason rather than to the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I love that idea. And I definitely think with Wheeler and Nola, you need to do something to get them rest throughout the season. And and a six-man rotation makes a lot of sense. Obviously, you need Falter to pitch well. You need Plasmaier, one of those guys, to be consistent, at least, if you're going to go to them, especially if you're going to give guys, you know, a month rest at a certain time and all that. But look, I think they're ultimately going to need more starting depth, you know, with the potential for injuries. If they're going to go with this type of situation, if they're going to try and go with a six-man, like, you're going to lose guys. Guys will get hurt for stretches too, and not everything's going to go just according to plan. So I do think that ultimately, and maybe it's a trade deadline thing, they're going to need to add a little depth there. But look, you know, maybe their guys who come up from the minors can make a difference too. But just the concept of Andrew Painter starting the season at the majors at 19 or whatever is like, whew.
What's the point of not, though? I guess
I get it. I get it. I get it. What else?
Unless
he's
terrible. Unless he's terrible in spring training, yeah, which is fine. And it's clear he needs more work. But like, if I'm going to have him in AAA pitching every fifth day, I'd rather have that in the major leagues.
I love it. I love it. I think it's a great take. I support it wholeheartedly. Like wholeheartedly.
Now I will say, the pitch to Schwarber was absolutely hung. I mean, it was just a hanger breaking ball. Now, what I did here, and I think this is important for people to get out there. I don't need the misinformation being spread. He's only throwing sliders or breaking balls that entire at bat.
Well, that's what they do. That's what I always say with spring training, where I never, ever, 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 ever take spring training stats seriously, especially pitchers, because like, or you can look for certain things, position battles, you can win a position battle. Like, for that stuff, it matters. But in terms of like, this is a big fantasy thing for me, you know, like, I don't overreact, if nothing else, to spring training stats. Cause like, to your point, a lot of times a pitcher will be going out and being like, all right, I'm working on my curve today and I'm going to throw it like 60% of the time, when in the season they'll throw it 20% of the time or whatever, you know, like, so I do think that you could be fooled by spring training stuff.
Well, and that's so admirable of you. Like,
honestly, that's just a little fantasy advice for all the fantasy baseball players out there. Take it from a 22-year fantasy baseball veteran. That's just, don't overreact to spring training stats. They will lead you astray.
And believe me, I think it's commendable. I really do. I'm telling you. It's impossible for me. I know. I head into every single spring training like, don't buy into it, don't buy into it, don't buy into it. And then by week two, I'm like, listen, I think they could win 110 games. You know, like, look at where this team is. Look how great they look. So believe me, I try. It's just not in my DNA.
Totally believe that. You're watching every video. Yeah, it makes sense. All right. All right, coming up in a few minutes, we'll get to a couple questions from the chat on the YouTube video. If you're not watching us, we usually try and do these on YouTube, the WIP YouTube page. We tweet out when it's on. Yeah. Hey, look, she's right here. She's been better. See, there she is. She's been better. She was being bad before, but now she's doing much better. I'm really proud of you.
I was just sticking her tongue out at the audience. This is a family-friendly program. You can't be doing that kind of stuff.
So that's the kind of benefit you get if you tune into the YouTube. We'll take some questions, some comments in the comments section in a couple minutes before we get to the take bag. Two other pitcher things I want to get to quickly. Obviously, one of them is Noah Song. But quickly before Noah Song, just obviously the other big story around the team right now is the Nola extension. The talks about it, if it'll happen before the season. Obviously, if it doesn't, it'll be a free agent. He said that it was a deadline for the season, but he's like, we can continue talking in the season, so I don't know what kind of deadline that is. What's your take on the whole? Because look, if he does decide to play it out, and if he does decide to go to free agency, he will be by far the best pitcher on the market. Like light years, the best pitcher on the market this offseason. So he was doing better. Right after he said he was doing better. Anyway, we'll figure that out. Jack, your thoughts on the Nola extension, and do you think he would sign it? Because, you know, if I'm him, I really would consider going out and testing the market and maybe getting a freaking massive deal.
Yeah, I think he would sign it. He said also last week that, you know, he's not looking to break the bank. Like, he wants to be here. He wants to be a part of this team. He wants to be obviously paid accordingly. He's not going to take like $12 million a year, like his first contract. But I do think that... I don't think he's looking to be like a $30+ million a year guy or $35 million a year guy. You know,
why?
I don't think that's him.
It's so weird though. I get it.
Well, he's a team guy.
I know, but don't you think his agent is like, Aaron, bro, what are we doing here, pal?
When you get to the
Players Association being like, hey, pal, I'm just saying, what are we doing here?
My feeling is that he's not going to try to, you know, break the bank, even though he could. You know, what you said is completely true. Like, with Yu Darvish signing, it's over. I mean, Nola's the number one guy on the market next year. The thing that I would sign him, like, just because it's not my money and I want him here, and he's a good pitcher. He's very durable. It's important. But I wonder how much the them not trading any of the pitchers this offseason, the Griff, the McAble, they were never trading Pater. I don't think that. I wonder how much of that is factoring into the possible Nola stuff. Because sure. in theory, they could say, okay, we'll let Nola walk. We'll have Wheeler, Painter, Griff, Taiwan Walker, McAble a part of this, and we'll go young and we'll use the Nola money elsewhere.